وآله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأهلا وسهلا بكم أيها الأحبة في الله في هذا اللقاء العلمي الذي أنقله لكم من هنا من طيبة الطيبة مدينة النبي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. ونحن نتكلم حفظكم الله تعالى عن موضوع هام جدا من المواضيع التي يحتاجها المسلم في حياته اليومية، ألا وهو حق الزوجة والأولاد.
نعم،
فحق الزوجة على الأولاد أيها الأحبة في الله، ترجمون أتكلم؟
يمكن أترجم؟
تفضل.
The Sheikh began Hafiz Allah Ta'ala by praising Allah Azza wa Jalla and sending salams upon our beloved Messenger Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And then he greeted the community and he said, we thank Allah we greet the community and we thank Allah for coming together in this gathering of knowledge. And this gathering of knowledge is coming from the city of our beloved Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Al-Madinah. And that which we're going to talk about is a very important subject, and it's from the subjects that a Muslim needs in his daily life, and that is the right of the wife and the children. Tafadhal ya Sheikh.
الزواج في الإسلام أيها الأحبة رابطة قوية تربط الرجل بالمرأة، وهذه الرابطة تقوم على العلاقة الروحية والعلاقة الجسدية، وجعل الله عز وجل هذه الرابطة آية من آياته سبحانه وتعالى، وعلامة نحتج بها على وجوده سبحانه وتعالى وتفرده بالربوبية، حيث قال سبحانه: ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة.
Then the Sheikh mentioned, Hafizullah Ta'ala, that marriage in Islam is a connection. It is a relationship which is very strong. It binds the man and the woman. And this bind or the connection and the relationship is a relationship of the soul and the relationship and a bond of the bodies. And we find in the Quran that Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned this bond of marriage as one of his signs and something to inform of his monotheism. As Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala said and in the Quran, and from his signs is that Allah created the spouse from the man and Allah brought between you mercy and tranquility. Tafadhal ya Shaykh.
أول حق من حقوق الزوجة على زوجها يكون قبل الزواج عند الاختيار، فلا ينبغي له أن يحرص على جمال الصورة فقط، بل يجب عليه أن يكون عادلا في اختياره، لأن الرجل إذا كان يبحث عن جمال الصورة فقط فإن الجميلات قليلات جدا، فماذا يفعل بقية النساء اللاتي جمالهن متوسط؟ هل يمكن أن يتركن الزواج؟ الجواب لا. ولذلك أمر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الرجل إذا أراد أن يتزوج أن يبحث عن ذات الدين التي جمالها مقبول. يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: تنكح المرأة لمالها ولنسبها ولجمالها، فاظفر بذات الدين تربت يداك. وهذه القاعدة العظيمة إذا استعملها الزوج في بداية حياته فإنه سيقيم علاقة روحية مع زوجته، وهذه العلاقة الروحية هي العلاقة المستمرة بخلاف
Now, and then the Sheikh mentioned that the first right pertaining to the husband and the wife is the choosing of the spouse, the choosing of the man choosing of the wife before he gets married. He should not merely look at the image and the beauty of the woman, but he should be just. Because if a man was to merely look at the beauty of the women, then the women that are extremely beautiful are very few. And what would be the case of the women that are not extremely beautiful? They would not get married. So because of that, we find that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that when a man looks for a wife, he looks for a woman that has religion, which possibly means that her beauty is acceptable. The Prophet ﷺ said, a woman is married for several things: for her wealth, for her lineage, and for her beauty. Get the woman, or obtain the woman, or search for the woman that has religion, and may you be successful. He said, so this is a sound principle. This is a great principle that we should use with regards to getting married. And if a person uses this principle, then when they do get married, they would have a continuous, everlasting relationship with their wife. Unlike the individuals that get married based off of the image or the beauty, merely the beauty of the female. Tafadhal ya Sheikh.
وَإِذَا عَزَمَ الرَّجُلُ الزَّوَاجَ يَجِبُ عَلَيْهِ أَنْ يُحَسِّنَ نِيَّتَهُ فَإِيَّاهُ أَنْ يَنْوِيَ الْغَدْرَ بِهَذِهِ الْمَرْأَةِ لِأَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَقُولُ مَنْ غَشَّنَا فَلَيْسَ مِنَّا وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم لا ضرر ولا ضرار والأصل في العلاقة الزوجية هي السكن والسكن لا يكون إلا بالإخلاص والصدق عند الزواج ولذلك بعض الناس وبعض الرجال يتزوج المرأة ليلعب بها ثم يطلقها وهذا أمر لا يجوز فإن في هذا خيانة للأمانة فهذا هو الحق الثاني من حقوق المرأة أن يكون صادقا معها عندما ينوي أن يتزوجها لا يغشها ولا يخونها ولا يخدعها.
نعم. Then the Sheikh mentioned that when a man makes the firm intention to get married, he should correct his intention. He should not seek to trick the female. And because of that, the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever tricks us, whoever deceives us, he's not from amongst us. And the Prophet ﷺ said, no harm should be caused upon a person, nor should anyone cause any harm. So the origin and the basis of the relationship with regards to marriage is that it has peace and tranquility. It has peace and it has tranquility. And this peace and tranquility does not take place except when a person is sincere and when a person is honest when it comes to getting married. They have some individuals that marry women and the intention is to play with the woman, to try the woman, and then to divorce her. This is not permissible. This is treachery. This is deception. So this is the second right that the woman has upon the man, and that is that he is honest when he has the intention to marry her and he does not seek to deceive her. Tafadhal Sheikh.
وعليه أن يجعل في نيته أنه يتزوج لثلاثة أمور. الأمر الأول أن يعف نفسه عما حرم الله عز وجل. ولذلك قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: يا معشر الشباب من استطاع منكم الباءة فليتزوج. فإنه أغض للبصر وأحفظ للفرج ومن لم يستطع فعليه بالصوم فإنه له وجاء. الأمر الثاني أن ينوي الإحسان إلى هذه المرأة بأن يعفها عما حرم الله عز وجل. وقد صح عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن من أحب أو أفضل الأعمال عند الله عز وجل الحرائر، أن يتزوجها فتقضي شهوتها مع زوجها خير لها من أن تذهب إلى الحرام، فهو ينوي أن يعف عما حرم عز وجل. الأمر الثالث ينوي أن يرزقه الله عز وجل الأبناء الصالحين، مع يكثر أمة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: تزوجوا الولود الودودة فإني مكاثر بكم الأمم يوم القيامة.
Then the Shaykh Hafizullah Ta'ala went on to mention, based on that which we said, so the individual, or in continuing, the individual when he decides to get married, he should base it off of three things. The first is that he wants to protect himself from falling into that which is haram. He wants to protect himself from falling into that which is haram. And because of that, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Ya ma'ashara shabab, O youth, whoever has the ability to get married should do so. For verily, it assists him in lowering his gates and it protects his privates. And whoever does not have the ability to get married, then he should fast. For fasting is a protection, a means of protection for him. So that's the first thing, that the person should intend to protect himself from that which is haram. The second thing, the person should intend to display kindness towards the female that he's marrying. Kindness towards the female that he's marrying, in which way? By protecting her from falling into that which is haram. And there's a hadith which is authentic that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, that from the best of actions is, and the voice cut off, but from what I understood, from the best of actions is that a man intends to marry a woman to protect her from that which is haram. Meaning, it's better for her to get married to someone that wishes to protect her than for her to go and do something haram. That's the second thing. The third thing is that the person should intend that Allah Azza wa Jal grants them righteous children. That Allah grants them a righteous offspring. Offspring to increase the number of followers of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And because of that, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, marry the fertile, the loving women. Marry the fertile, loving women, for verily I would take pride in your numbers on the Day of Judgment. So that's the third thing. The person should get married with the intention of increasing the number of followers of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Tafadhal ya Shaykhana.
فإذا عقد العزم على الزواج وجب عليه أن يعطي المرأة ما أوجبه الله عز وجل عليه وهو المهر، وهذا المهر عبارة عن عوض مادي، إما ذهب وإلا فضة أو نقد أو ما يقوم مقامه من السلع يعطيه هذه المرأة بطيب نفس، وهذا المهر ملك للمرأة نفسها، لا يجوز لأحد أن يأخذ منه شيئا إلا بإذنها، فلا يجوز لأبيها ولا لأمها ولا لإخوانها أخذ شيء من ذلك. يقول الله عز وجل: وآتوا النساء صدقاتهن نحلة. والمراد هنا بالصدقات أي المهر. وذكر العلماء رحمهم الله تعالى حكما كثيرا لهذا المهر، أن المرأة إذا أرادت الزواج تحتاج إلى مصاريف كثيرة، وهذه المصاريف لمصلحة الزوج لا لمصلحتها هي، لأنها تحتاج إلى لباس تلبسه لزوجها، وتحتاج إلى زينة تتزين بها لزوجها، وتحتاج إلى طيب تتطيب به إلى زوجها، ونحو ذلك من حاجات النساء المعروفة. فلما كان الرجل هو المستفيد من هذه الأشياء التي ستشتريها المرأة بمهرها، لزمه أن يدفع هو المهر، لأن المرأة لا دخل لها أصلا، وأيضا المرأة كيف تخسر كذلك هذا المال من أجل هذا الرجل. وهذا من عدل الإسلام، حيث أوجب على كل صاحب حق أن يؤدي حقه الذي أوجبه الله عز وجل عليه.
نعم. Then the Shaykh Hafizullah Ta'ala mentioned, so when the person has the firm intention to get married, it becomes incumbent upon him to give the woman the mahar, which is the gift that the man gives, the obligatory gift that he gives the female. And this mahar is considered he's giving her something, he's granting her something of wealth, It might be of wealth, it might be of gold, it might be of silver, or any type of good. He gives it to her, and he should feel happy in doing so. He should feel happy, content, and satisfied in doing so. And it becomes her property. It is not permissible for her father to take it, nor her mother, nor her brothers. And because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, and give the woman the sadaqat. Give the woman the sadaqat. And the ulama mentioned the sadaqat here is referring to the mahar. And the ulama, they said there's a lot of wisdom in this mahar being legislated. For example, that the woman, at the time of marriage, right before marriage, she has a lot of things that she has to buy. For who? For herself to wear, but to please her husband. She has to buy beautification, she has to buy perfumes, she has to buy clothing, and many other things that the women, they know that which they wear. So, but the man is the one that's going to benefit from it. The woman's going to wear it, and she's going to adorn herself with it, but the man is the one that's going to benefit from it. So because of that, it is legislated and incumbent upon the man to give the woman something, to give the woman something, and she's able to adorn herself and to display herself in a pleasing manner. And this is from the justice of Islam. It's from the justice of Islam that Allah Azza wa Jal legislated upon every individual that which is befitting for them. Tafadhal ya Shaykhana.
فإذا انتقلت الزوجة إلى زوجها وجب على الزوج أن يختار بيتا لزوجته يليق به ويليق بها. قال الله عز وجل لينفق ذو سعة من سعته ومن قدر عليه رزقه فلينفق مما آتاه الله لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا ما آتاها. فلا ينبغي للرجل أن يبذر من أجل إرضاء شهواته أو شهوات زوجته. كذلك لا يجوز له أن يكون بخيلا فيختار بيتا لا يليق بهذه الزوجة. يجب أن يجعل بيتها بيتا ساترا لها حافظا لها عن أعين الناس وأسماعهم. كذلك تكون في هذا البيت سعيدة، لأن البيت في الحقيقة هو مكان إقامة المرأة، والمرأة مطالبة بأن تقر في بيتها ولا تخرج من بيتها إلا للضرورة. فينبغي أن يكون بيتها جميلا يليق بها تتمتع ببقائها فيه. لا ينبغي أن يكون بيتها كأنه سجن لها، لا، ينبغي أن يكون بيتا جميلا تعيش فيه وتشعر فيه براحة تامة حتى يعوضها عن الخروج من بيتها.
Then the Shaykh mentioned, Hafiz Allah Ta'ala, something very important. He said, so once the couple has come together and they are now married, it's incumbent upon the man to choose a house, to choose a dwelling which is befitting for him and befitting for her. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, the individual that has the ability should spin from that which Allah has given him. The individual that has the ability should spin from that which Allah has given him. And the individual that does not have the ability, then he should, according to his ability, he should spend. So the Shaykh said, so the person, the individual, the spouse, he should not be extravagant and merely following his desires and the desires of his wife, no. And at the same time, he should not be extremely stingy. He should not be extremely stingy and put her in a place that's not befitting for her. No, but the house and the dwelling that he chooses for his wife should be something that protects her from the sight of the people, protects her from the listening of the people. It should be something, and she should be comfortable in the home. She should be comfortable in the home. The home is the place for the woman. The woman is ordered to stay in the home, and she's not supposed to leave the home except out of necessity. So because of that, it's incumbent that the house is comfortable for her. The house should be beautiful. The house should be comfortable. It should not be like a jail. The woman should find herself comfortable in the home. She should find herself relaxed in the home. She should find that she's happy in the home. This is the place where she's going to live. This is her dwelling place. So she should not feel that it's a jail and the likes of that. And because of that, it's upon the man to make the home as that which the Shaykh described. Tafadhal ya Shaykhana.
فإذا دخلت الزوجة بيت الرجل يجب عليه أن يحسن عشرتها، لأنها في الحقيقة ضيفة عنده، وإكرام الضيف من الإيمان. أسيرة عنده، تركت أباها وأمها ومجتمعها وانتقلت إليه لتسعده، ليأتي الله عز وجل منها بأولاد. وقد جاء في الحديث: اتقوا الله في النساء فإنهن عوان عندكم، أي أسيرات، أنت تطعمها بإذن الله عز وجل، وأنت تكسوها، وأنت تسقيها، وأنت تأذن لها بالخروج، وأنت تمنعها من الخروج، فأصبحت تابعة لك. ولذلك يجب عليك أن تحسن عشرتها. وحسن العشرة باختصار هو أن تتخلق معها بالأخلاق الإسلامية، مع أنك تحبها وترحمها. هذا هو حسن العشرة. يجب عليك أن تتخلق مع زوجتك بالأخلاق الإسلامية، مع المحبة لها، ومع الرحمة التامة لها. قال الله عز وجل: وعاشروهن بالمعروف. نعم.
Then the Sheikh mentioned, حفظ الله تعالى, that once the female enters, that once the female enters into the home of the husband, which he has chosen for her, then it becomes incumbent upon the man to deal with her kindly. To deal with her kindly. The reality is, she's a guest with him. And dealing with your guest in a kind manner is from the elements of Iman. It's from the pillars of faith. She is like a prisoner to you. She's like a prisoner to you. She has left her father, she has left her mother, she's left her family, she's left her society, and she has joined you for the purpose of being with you and having children with you. So, because of that, and based on that, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Fear Allah with regards to women, for verily they are like prisoners with you. Verily they are like prisoners with you." So it becomes incumbent upon you to feed her, to clothe her, to provide drink for her. So you understand that now you're married to this woman, you have to be kind in dealing with her, and being kind in dealing with her is summarized in that which he said, showing Islamic character, along with love and respect and mercy. Showing Islamic character along with love and mercy. So how do you deal kindly with your wife? Is you display the Islamic character, and at the same time you love her and you have complete mercy for her, as Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, and treat them in kindness, and treat them in kindness, that which is understood. Naam, tafadhal ya Shaykhina.
Wa husn al-khuluq kama huwa ma'lum ayyuha al-ahibba min al-iman. Yaqul an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam: أكمل المؤمنين إيمانا أحسنهم أخلاقا. وإذا كان مع هذه الزوجة الضعيفة كان أعظم وأفضل. ولذلك يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: خيركم خيركم لأهله، وأنا خيركم لأهلي. وإن المتدبر لأخلاق النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مع زوجاته يجد عجبا. كان صلى الله عليه وسلم يكرم زوجاته إكراما عظيما، وكان صلى الله عليه وسلم ينفق كل ما يصل إليه صلى الله عليه وسلم عليهن مع زوجته صلى الله عليه وسلم في الدنيا ورغبته عنها، إلا أنه لم يكن يدخر شيئا صلى الله عليه وسلم. ينفق ما كان في يده في سبيل الله عز وجل وعلى زوجاته. كان صلى الله عليه وسلم يبتسم دائما في وجه زوجاته، وكان صلى الله عليه وسلم لينا رفيقا بهن، وكان يقول: عليكم بالرفق، فإن الرفق ما كان في شيء إلا زانه، وما نزع من شيء إلا شانه. كان صلى الله عليه وسلم يعاملهن باللين والرحمة. ويقول صلى الله عليه وسلم: إنما يرحم الله من عباده الرحماء. ويقول صلى الله عليه وسلم: ارحموا من في الأرض يرحمكم من في السماء. وكان صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يكلفهن شيئا فوق طاقتهن، ولذلك لم يخير صلى الله عليه وسلم بين شيئين إلا اختار أيسرهما ما لم يكن إثما.
أحسن الله إليك. Then the Sheikh Habib Allah Ta'ala went on to say, and good character, as it is known, O my brothers, is from the pillars of Iman. It is from the elements and the pillars of Iman. And because of that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the believer, or the most complete believer, is the one who has good character, is the one who has and displays the best of character. And there's no doubt that this character is more incumbent and stronger when it comes to the wife, when it comes to the spouse. And because of that, the Prophet ﷺ said, the best of you is the best to your family, and I am the best to my family. And if an individual was to contemplate and reflect and look into the character of the Prophet ﷺ with his zawjat, with his wife, they would find something very amazing. The Prophet ﷺ used to treat them in an extremely kind manner. He would treat them in an extremely kind manner. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, anything that arrived to him from wealth, he would immediately spend it on his family. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, although he was the type to abstain from the dunya, he himself was the type to abstain from the dunya, but the Prophet would not save anything. He would spend it on his families. Likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would constantly smile in the faces of his wives, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam constantly treated them with humbleness and with gentleness. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Upon you is gentleness. Verily, gentleness is not placed in anything except that it beautifies it, and it is not removed from anything except that it blemishes it." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would constantly deal with them with gentleness and mercy. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Verily, Allah has mercy to His servants that have mercy." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "If you are merciful to the ones that are on the earth, Allah, the one who is in the sky, will be merciful to you," meaning Allah. And likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not overburden them. He would not overburden them. And because of that, it is mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would never choose between two things, except that he would choose that which was easier, as long as it was not a sin. Tafadhal ya Shaykhana.
ومع كثرة مشاغل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، وأن الأمة كانت بحاجة إلى كل دقيقة من عمره الشريف، إلا أنه صلى الله عليه وسلم يعطي أهله حقهم كاملا، فكان صلى الله عليه وسلم يكون في حاجة أهله يساعد أهله في أعمال البيت، مع أن كل دقيقة من عمره الشريف تساوي الدنيا، والناس في أمس الحاجة لكل دقيقة من عمره، إلا أنه كان يساعد أهله في بيتهم ويكون في حاجتهم ويجلس معهم ويتحدث معهم ويسمع ما يقولون. وربما تقص عليه إحداهن القصة الطويلة التي تحتاج وقتا طويلا وهو صلى الله عليه وسلم يسمع، كما في حديث عائشة المشهور، حديث أم زرع التي قصت فيه عائشة رضي الله عنها قصة 13 امرأة كلهن تصف زوجها والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يسمع. وهذا من حسن عشرته صلى الله عليه وسلم، فإن المرأة تحب أن تتكلم وزوجها يسمع، فلا بأس أخي في الله أن تعطي زوجتك من وقتك شيئا حتى تتكلم هي، فتسمع شكوتها أو تسمع مطالبها أو تسمع نصيحتها أو تسمع بعض اقتراحاتها، فإن هذا كان هدي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Then the Shaykh Hafizullah Ta'ala mentioned, even though the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was extremely busy with the affairs of his nation, the Ummah was in need of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They were in need of every single minute of his life. And even though that was the case, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave his family their due rights. He gave them their due rights. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was in the service of his family. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, although he was extremely busy and although the Muslims needed his time, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was not negligent in giving his family their due time. And 1 minute in the life of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, 1 minute in the life of the Prophet meant the dunya. It meant the dunya with regards to the needs of the Muslim nation. But with that, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam helped his family. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam assisted his family. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sat with his family. He spoke to his family. Even when one of his wives wanted to mention to him a long story that would take time, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would listen. As you have in the hadith of Aisha, and then you know the hadith of Zara with the women, where there were 13 women, and all of them wanted to mention something about their husbands. This is a long narration. It's a long story. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sat down and listened to it. So with that being the case, we should understand, a woman loves to speak and her husband to listen. She loves to speak and her husband to listen. Therefore, with that being the case, O my brother in Islam, there should not be a problem in you giving your wife some time and you listen to her. You listen to her advice. You listen to her needs. You listen to her complaints. You listen to her suggestions. Why? You should do so. Why? This is done so because it was the methodology of our beloved Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Tafadhal Shaykhina.
من الأمور المهمة جدا أن تصبر أيها المسلم على زوجتك المسلمة. فإن هذا أمر مهم لأن الوقت الطويل الذي يمضيه الرجل مع زوجته هذه السنوات الطوال محال أن تكون الزوجة كاملة على ما يحب زوجها. ربما تخطئ، ربما تنسى، ربما تمنعه بعض حقه، فما موقفه من ذلك؟ موقفه أن يعود نفسه الصبر، فإن هذه المرأة التي أخطأت خطأ واحدا قد أحسنت إليك مئات المرات وقد أصابت مئات المرات، فلا ينبغي أن تنسى صوابها بسبب خطأ واحد، ولا ينبغي أن تنسى ما فعلته لك من خير بسبب تقصير واحد. ولذلك قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يفرق مؤمن مؤمنة، أي لا يطلق مؤمن مؤمنة، إن كره منها خلقا رضي منها آخر. أي أن المرأة المسلمة فيها أخلاق كثيرة، فيها الإسلام، فيها العفاف، فيها الطاعة لزوجها، فيها إعطاء زوجها حقوقها، فيها خدمة زوجها، قد يخرج الله منها ولدا صالحا. فلا تطلق هذه المرأة، وإنما على الرجل أن يصبر على بعض تقصيرها ويحتسب في صبره هذا وجه الله سبحانه وتعالى.
Then the Shaykh mentioned, and from the affairs which are important, are extremely important to mention, is that the individual husband has to be patient with regards to his wife, with regards to his Muslim wife. The time, we have to realize, the time that you've spent with your wife, the many years that you've spent with your wife, it is impossible for her to be totally as you wish her to be. It's impossible. There's no doubt she's going to make mistakes. There's no doubt she's going to forget. There's no doubt she possibly even prevents you from some of your rights. But what is the mawqif? What is the position of the Muslim, the man, the husband? Is that he conditions himself to be patient. He should have conditioned himself to be patient. He should not take one mistake that she's made and forget the hundreds of times that she's done good. Forget the hundreds of times that she's been submissive. No. No, he shouldn't do that. He should not look at one mistake and focus on it and concentrate on it and forget all of the good that she has done. And because of that, the Prophet ﷺ said that the believing man should not become angry with the believing woman. And he also mentioned, should not divorce the believing woman because of a mistake. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned, if he dislikes something in her, there's something else that he would like in her, within her. He said, you understand the woman herself, she has different character in her. She has Islam, she has chastity, she has obedience to her husband, she has servicing her husband, she has possibly giving him righteous children, and the likes of that. So if the woman falls into a mistake, it's incumbent that the man displays patience, and that he seeks the face of Allah in displaying this patience. Fadli Shaykhana.
الزواج حفظكم الله عبادة نعبد الله سبحانه وتعالى بها ولذلك فإن إعطاء الزوجة حقها الذي شرعه الله لها هو نوع من أنواع العبادة ولذلك نحن نؤديه ونفوسنا راضية كما أننا نصلي ونفوسنا راضية كما أننا نصوم ونفوسنا راضية كما أننا نحج وننفق مالا ونتعب ونفوسنا راضية كما أننا نزكي ونفوسنا راضية كذلك نعطي الزوجات حقوقهن ونفوسنا راضية ولذلك ينسى كثير من الناس هذه القضية عند قضية النفقة فإن النفقة واجبة على الرجل يجب على الرجل أن ينفق على زوجته بالمعروف وكل نفقة أنفقها له فيها أجر ولذلك قال صلى الله عليه وسلم حتى اللقمة يضعها الرجل في فيه امرأته له فيها أجر ووضعها إما بمعنى أن يطعمها أن يشتري الطعام فتأكل بنفسها أو أن يأخذ لقمة فيضعها إكراما لها في فيه زوجتها في فيه زوجته فهذا أيضا وضع وهذا لا بأس به أن يغازل الرجل زوجته وأن يكرمها وأن يتخير من الطعام أحسنه فيطعمها بيده وكل هذا عبادة لله عز وجل ولذلك جاء في الحديث الصحيح دينار أنفقته في سبيل الله ودينار أنفقته على أهلك ودينار تصدقت به أفضلها الدينار الذي أنفقته على أهلك.
Then the Sheikh Hafizullah mentioned that we understand that marriage is ibadah, it is worship. We worship Allah through marriage. This is one of the means of our worship toward Allah Azza wa Jalla. By giving the wife her rights. Giving the wife her rights is a form of worship. With that being the case, we should do so and we are content in doing so. We should do so and we are content in doing so. Just like we pray and we're content in doing so. We fast, we're content in doing so. We make hajj, we spend from our wealth, we're content in doing so. We give charity zakat and we're content in doing so. Likewise, given the woman their rights, the wives their rights, it's a form of ibadah, so we should be content in doing so. This is an important subject with regards to spending on the women, spending on the wives. We should understand that the spending is incumbent upon the husband, according to his means, according to that which is acceptable. And we should understand that every time you spend on the family, on the wife, you're getting a reward. As the Prophet ﷺ said, even the morsel of food that you place in the mouth of your wife, you get a reward. And placing the food in the mouth of your wife is done in two ways. Either you buy the food and she cooks it and she eats it herself, you get a reward. Or you, out of respect for her, and gentleness and kindness, you actually, while you're eating, you pick up the food and you put it in the mouth of your wife. There's no problem in doing so. There's no problem in a man treating his wife in such a way, out of respect and out of gentleness and kindness and, you know, being that type of man that has this type of relationship with his wife. There's no problem in doing so. So we should understand, and actually you have a hadith where the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, there's money given for the sake of Allah. There's money given and spending for the family. And there's money given, given in charity. And the Prophet ﷺ said, and the best of those three that were mentioned, is the money that you spend on your family. Tafadhal ya Shaykhana.
وقد ذكر العلماء رحمهم الله تعالى في تفسير قوله تعالى ولهن مثل الذي عليهن بالمعروف قالوا يجب على الرجل أن يطيب قوله لزوجته إذا أمرها يقول افعلي هذا جزاك الله خيرا أو أرجوك أن تفعلي هذا أو افعلي هذا بعد إذنك أو إذا سمحتي وإذا فعلت شيئا شكرها ودع الله سبحانه وتعالى لها كذلك هو يحب أن تتجمل زوجته له وأن تتطيب له وأن تنظف نفسها له كذلك يجب على الرجل أن يتنظف لزوجته وأن يتجمل لها وأن يتطيب لها كما يحب أن تتجمل له ولذلك قال عبد الله بن عباس رضي الله عنهما والله إني لأتجمل لزوجتي كما أحب أن تتجمل لي فهذا كله من حسن العشرة ومن حق النساء على أزواجهن.
Then the Shaykh Hafiz Allah Ta'ala mentioned that the ulama have mentioned with regard to the explanation of the ayat, وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ لِذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, and for them, yani for the women, is similar, yani the women have the right to, which belongs to them, similar to that which is upon them. The ulama mentioned that the explanation of this ayat is that it is incumbent for a man to beautify his statements with regards to his women, with regards to his wives. For example, if he orders her to do something, he should say to her, please do this, may Allah reward you. Please do this, you know, if you don't mind. I beg your pardon, can you please do this for me? So when he requests something for her, he should supplicate for her and he should thank her. He should supplicate and he should thank her. And they also said that it is likewise, just as it is obligatory for the woman to beautify herself, to adorn herself, to perfume herself, to clean herself. Likewise, it is obligatory upon the man to adorn himself, to perfume himself, or cologne, to fragrance himself, and to clean himself. Because of that, it was mentioned by Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. He said, I swear by Allah, verily I love to beautify myself for my wife, just as I love her to beautify herself for me. The Shaykh said, so all of this which we've mentioned is from the rights of the woman upon the husband, and it is from good character towards the women. Tafadhal ya Shaykhana.
ومن حقوق الزوجة على زوجها أن يحرص على تلبية رغباتها وطلباتها الدنيوية التي لا تخالف كتاب الله ولا سنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لأن الرجل إذا كان شديدا على زوجته يمنعها من كل المباحات فإنها تكرهه بل ربما تمله ولا تحب أن تجالسه ولذلك ينبغي عليه أن يكون هينا لينا معها أي أمر أباحه الله عز وجل وهي تحب أن تأتيه لا بأس أن يتنازل ذلك كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يتنازل لعائشة رضي الله عنها في أمور كثيرة يسمح لها أن تلعب مع صديقاتها بالألعاب الصغيرة وكان صلى الله عليه وسلم يجعل يسمح لها أن تنظر إلى الحبشة وهم يلعبون في المسجد، وكانت تقول اقدروا قدر البنت الصغيرة. فالشاهد حفظكم الله أن من حسن العشرة أن لا يكون رجل الشديد على زوجته يمنعها، بل ينبغي عليه أن ينظر إلى ما أباح الله عز وجل فيفعل منه بقدر حتى لا تمله ولا تمل الجلوس معه.
نعم. Then the Shaykh Hafiz Allah Ta'ala mentioned him, from the rights of the woman upon her husband is that he tries his best to submit to that which she requests from worldly affairs, as long as it is not in opposition to the book nor the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is because if a man is too staunch and hard and rugged, then he would forbid her from everything, even things that are permissible. And if he does so, this would create within her dislike for him. She may become bored with him. She may begin to dislike even sitting with him and keeping company with him. So because of that, from good character towards the woman, is that if the affair is permissible, it's not a problem that you submit to it. The Prophet ﷺ submitted with regards to Aisha to many affairs. He allowed her to play with her young friends with small toys. He allowed her to watch the Ethiopians doing their performance and the likes of that. So that which is understood is from good character towards the woman is that you are not severely staunch and rugged and the likes of that, so much so that you forbid her from everything. No, you should look, and that which Allah has made permissible, you try to do it to the best of your ability, and by doing so you display good character with regards to your wife. Tafadhal ya Shaykhana.
ومن أعظم الحقوق التي للزوجة على زوجها أن يعلمها ما يهمها من أمر دينها، فإن هذا والله مقدم على الطعام والشراب واللباس، فإن المرأة الصالحة نعمة العون بعد الله عز وجل لزوجها. وكلنا يعرف قصة خديجة رضي الله عنها وموقفها العظيم مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يوم أن نزل عليه الوحي. وهذه المرأة الصالحة استحقت بإيمانها وبصبرها وبنصرتها للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الجنة، فقد ثبت لها من الكرامات في الدنيا ما لم يثبت لرجل على وجه الأرض. ففي صحيح البخاري أن جبريل عليه السلام أتى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وقال: هذه خديجة قد أقبلت ومعها طعام، فأقرئ عليها السلام من الله عز وجل ومني، وبشرها ببيت في الجنة من قصب، أي من ذهب لا نصب فيه ولا وصب. فهذه المرأة الصالحة استفادت من صحبة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ومن أخلاقه العظيمة، فتخلقت بذلك وأعانت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، فبشرها الله عز وجل، وأرسل الله عز وجل لها جبريل يقول لها: يا خديجة الله يقيك السلام. فهل سمعتم شرفا في الدنيا مثل هذا الشرف؟ أنا والله ما سمعت، والله إن عقل الرجل يكاد أن يطير من عظم هذا الفضل وهذا الثواب وهذا الشرف. هكذا المرأة المسلمة إذا تعلمت تصل إلى هذه المراتب المباركة، وهذا كله بعد الله عز وجل بيد زوجها. ولذلك علمها تكن لك نعم العون ونعم الأم والمربية لأبنائك، فاحرص عليها تسعد في الدنيا والآخرة.
نعم. Then the Shaykh Hafiz Allah Ta'ala mentioned that And from the greatest rights of the woman upon her spouse is that he teaches her the affairs as it pertains to her religion. This takes precedence over food, drink, and clothing. The female, if she's upright, she is the greatest of supports and help after Allah for the husband. All of us know the story of Khadija alayhi salatu wasalam and her status with regards to the support of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, especially on the day that revelation was revealed to him. This woman, this righteous female, because of her patience, because of her iman, because of her support of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because of her patience, because of her iman, because of her support of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, she was granted great things in this life that were never granted to any man that walked the earth, that were never granted to even to a man that walked the earth. You have in the hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari where the Jibreel came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, he said, O Muhammad, Khadija is approaching with food. Inform her that Allah gives her the salams, and I likewise give her the salams, and inform her, give her glad tidings of a palace in Jannah made of gold. A palace in Jannah made of gold. The Shaykh said, so this righteous female, she benefited from the honesty of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She benefited from the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she displayed it in her own character, and she supported the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and because of that Allah gave her glad tidings, and Allah sent Jibreel to her, and Allah told Jibreel to inform her that Allah gives her salams. The Shaykh said, Have you ever heard of a blessing like this for any person in this world? No. You've never heard of this type of blessing. Yani, even the mind of the man is like it's going to fly because of this great blessing that Allah Ta'ala has informed about Khadija. Therefore, the Shaykh said, so a righteous woman, if she learns her deen, she reaches to a very high blessed level. She reaches to a high level, and she becomes a great support for her husband. She becomes a great support for her husband. She becomes a great mother. So therefore, it is befitting that we all are diligent in trying to assist our women in reaching this level so that we can be happy in this life as well as in the next. Tafadhal ya Shaykhana.
Wa al-hadithu fil haqiqati yatulu, walakinna naktafi bihada, وننتقل حفظكم الله إلى بعض حقوق الأبناء. فأول حق للأبناء أن يختار الأمة الصالحة لهم، فإن الأبناء ينجذبون بطبعهم إلى أمهم فيتعلمون لغتها ويتخلقون بأخلاقها ويتطبعون بطباعها. فإذا كانت الأم ذات دين صالحة بارة حيية فإن أبناءها بإذن الله عز وجل يكونون كذلك. ثم من حق الأولاد على أبيهم أن يختار لهم النفقة الحلال، فإن أيما جسم نبت من حرام فإن النار أولى به. ومن حقهم على أبيهم كذلك أن يحسن تربيتهم وأن يحفظهم ما تيسر من كتاب الله وسنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، وأن يجعلهم أصدقاء له لا خدما له. وهذا أمر مهم، فإن كثيرا من الأبناء الآباء يجعل أبناءه خدما له فينشؤون كالخدم لا قيمة لهم، والواجب عليه أن يربيهم لأنفسهم وللإسلام والمسلمين تربية صالحة عزيزة شريفة. موضوع تربية الأبناء في الحقيقة موضوع هام جدا، ما ضعف الإسلام وأهله إلا بسبب تقصيرنا في تربية أبنائنا. ولعل لنا إن شاء الله تعالى لقاء آخر نخصه في تربية الأبناء والطرق التي يسلكها الوالد في تربية أبنائه مع الاجتهاد في دعاء الله عز وجل في إصلاحهم ليل نهار، وأن يتوكل على الله عز وجل وحده ولا يتوكل على قوته وذكائه. هذا ما يسر الله عز وجل في هذا اللقاء، وأسأل الله عز وجل أن يصلح لنا زوجاتنا وأبنائنا وأنفسنا، إنه ولي ذلك والقادر عليه، والله أعلى وأعلم، وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.
أحسن الله إليك وبارك الله فيكم، ونسأل الله أن يجعل هذه الكلمات في ميزان حسناتكم. جزاكم الله خيرا يا شيخنا.
جزاكم الله بارك الله فيكم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. The Shaykh Hafiz Allah Ta'ala ended by saying that the person
you called is no longer on the line.
Naam, by saying that the subject of...
You may dial now.
By saying the subject of the rights
for
of...
For other options, press pound.
By saying the subject of the rights of the wife is a long subject. So we would suffice with that which we mentioned. And then we will go to mention some of the rights of the children upon their father. The first right of the child upon the children upon their father is that the father chooses a righteous mother. The father chooses a righteous mother. Because naturally, the children follow the ways of their mother. And they're always with their mother. The children learn the language of their mother. They learn the character of their mother. They learn the nature of their mother. So, if the mother is a female that possesses religion, if she's righteous, if she's upright, the children are going to be likewise by the permission of Allah. The second thing is with regards to choosing the correct, being sure that you bring home money which is permissible. Funds and spending on the children, that which is permissible. Because a child which is raised on money which is not permissible, then the fire is more deserving of him. Then the fire is more deserving of him. So the reality is that we have to choose the halal funds when we spend on our family. The third is that we are correct in upbringing. We do our best to upbring our children in the best of manners. This is from the rights of the children upon the father. And the Shaykh mentioned that we should also, with regards to the correct upbringing, we should also do our best to have them memorize the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Likewise, we should make our children our friends and not our servants. He said this is a serious affair. We should make our children our friends and not our servants. You have many parents that they raise their children to be their servants. And when the child becomes of age, the child has no personality. He has no dignity. No, we should raise our children for themselves. We should raise them for Islam. We should raise them for the Ummah. So we should raise our children to be religious and the likes of that, to be individuals that have personality and the likes. He also mentioned, or he closed with that, he said the subject of So this is an important subject, the upbringing of the children. It's an extremely important subject. And he said, there's no doubt that the Muslim Ummah has become weaker because of our negligence in raising our children. He said, it's possible that we would, inshallah, we're going to stop now, but it's possible in the future, inshallah, that we would specify and designate a specific lecture on the raising of children and the different methodologies in raising the children and the importance of supplicating to Allah and turning to Allah and being very diligent in trying to raise our children and supplicating to Allah day and night for the correct upbringing of our children and putting our trust in Allah. Not depending on ourselves, not depending on our might and our power, but by putting our trust in Allah and our dependency upon Allah Azza wa Jal. And he said, we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would make it easy for us to do that in another gathering in the future. And then he said, we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to correct our wives, to correct our children, to correct ourselves. And verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the possessor of success. And he sent salams upon our beloved messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, upon his family members and his companions. And with that, we come to an end of the talk of our beloved Sheikh Muhammad al-Aqil Hafizullah ta'ala. And there's no doubt it was very beneficial and it had many points of benefit. And we pray that the community can take those points of benefit, write them down, review them, put them in paper form, review them, go over it with the family, go over it with the wife, go over it with the husband, and the likes of that, and try to correct one another. It's not in terms of listening to the lecture, it's important, and in terms of reviewing it, it's important, and in terms of implementing it, it's even of greater importance. May Allah Azza wa Jal make us of those that benefit from that which we have heard and implemented and spread it to others. Allah knows best. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam taslima kathira.